and then there was a bundle of letters with a bit of string round them. They were very old. Bits of yellowing paper crackled off them as Magrat picked them up. "They're all letters to her," she said.
"Nothing odd about that," said Nanny. "Anyone can get letters."
"And there's all this stuff at the bottom," said Magrat. "It looks like pebbles." She held one up. "This one's got one of those curly fossil things in it," she said.
"And this one looks like that red rock the dancers were made of. It's got a darning needle stuck to it. How strange." "She always paid attention to small details, did Esme. Always tried to see inside to the real thing."
They were both silent for a moment, and the silence wound out around them and filled the kitchen, to be sliced into gentle pieces by the soft ticking of the clock.
"I never thought we'd be doing this," said Magrat after a while. "I never thought we'd be reading her will. I thought she'd keep on going forever."
"Well, there it is," said Nanny. "Tempus fugit."
"Nanny?"
"Yes, love."
"I don't understand. She was your friend, but you don't seem, well, upset."
"Well, I've buried a few husbands and one or two kiddies. You get the hang of it. Anyway, if she hasn't gone to a better place, she'll damn well be setting out to improve it."
"Nanny?"
"Yes, love."
"Did you know anything about the letter?"
"What letter?"
"The letter to Verence."
"Don't know anything about any letter to Verence.
He must have got it weeks before we got back. She must have sent it even before we got to Aunt Morpork."
Nanny Og looked, as far as Magrat could tell, genuinely blank.
"Oh, hell," said Magrat. "I mean this letter."
She fished it out of her breastplate. "See?" Nanny Og read.
"Dear Sire, this is to inform you that Margaret Garlick will be returning to Lancre on or about Blind Pig Tuesday. She is a wet hen, but she is clean and has got good teeth. If you wishes to marry her, then start arranging matters without delay, because if you just proposes and similar, she will lead you a dance, because there is no one like Magrat for getting in the way of her own life. She does not know her own mind. You are king, and you can do what you like. You must present her with a fait accompli. P.S. I hear there is talk about making witches pay tax. No kings of Lancre has tried this for many a year. You could profit from their example. Yours in good health at the moment. A friend. Mus."
The ticking of the clock stitched the blanket of silence. Nanny Og turned to look at it.
"She arranged it all," said Magrat. "You know what Verence is like. I mean, she hardly disguised who she was, did she? And I got back, and it was all arranged."
"What would you have done if nothing had been arranged?" said Nanny.
Magrat looked momentarily taken aback.
"Well, I would... I mean, if he... well...
You'd be getting married today, would you?"
said Nanny, but in a distant voice, as if she was thinking about something else.
"Well, that depends on..."
"You want to, don't you?"
"Well, yes, of course, but..."
"Well, that's nice, then,"
said Nanny, in what Magrat thought of as her nursery voice.
"Yes, but she pushed me on one side and shut me up in the castle, and I got so wound up..."
"You were so angry that you actually stood up to the Queen. You actually laid hands on her," said Nanny. "Well done. The old Magrat wouldn't have done that, would she? Esme could always see the real thing. Now, nip out of the back door and look at the log pile. There's a love."
"But I hated her and hated her, and now she's dead."
"Yes, dear. Now, go and tell Nanny about the log pile."
Magrat opened her mouth to frame the words, "I happen to be very nearly Queen," but decided not to. Instead, she graciously went outside and looked at the log pile.
"It's quite high," she said, coming back and blowing her nose. "Looks like it's just been stacked."
"And she wound up the clock yesterday," said Nanny. "And the tea caddy's half full. I just looked."
"Well?"
"She wasn't sure," said Nanny.
She opened the envelope addressed to her. It was larger and flatter than the one holding the will, and contained a single piece of card. Nanny read it, and let it drop onto the table.
"Come on," she said. "We ain't got much time."
"What's the matter?"
"And bring the sugar bowl."
Nanny wrenched open the door and hurried towards her broomstick.
"Come on!"
Magrat picked up the card. The writing was familiar. She'd seen it several times before, when calling on Granny Weatherwax unexpectedly. It said,
"I ain't dead."
"Halt!"